Hello and welcome to Raising Unique, stories from the inside of neurodiversity. So, hello, welcome. I'm Jane. I'm mum of a 10-year-old neurodivergent boy who is incredibly unique, hilarious, and once met, never forgotten. So this podcast aims to start talking about the reality of parenting and supporting a neurodiverse young person. Let's be honest, all parenting is really difficult, not that I would know because I've only parented my son, but working with children is hard, which I have done a lot of, and it's even more challenging when those young people are diverse. So particularly if it's your child, because there's no giving them back, and you really do need to strap yourself in for a roller coaster of shit, judgment and frustration along the way. But it's not all bad. There's lots of love, and it's hilarious if you get yourself in the correct mindset. Hopefully some of my experience will resonate with you, and even if you don't have similar experiences, then perhaps you might take a moment to think about challenges that neurodivergent individuals have living in a world which isn't designed for them, really. So before I get into the ins and outs of my parenting story so far, I'm just going to do a quick fact check, just so we're all aware of the terms that we're using and exactly what they mean without all the jargon and rubbish. So neurodiversity is basically the differences in human brains. So even if you're not on the autistic spectrum or you don't have ADHD, every brain is neurodiverse. Every brain is different, just like every fingerprint's different. But what does that mean for a neurodivergent person? Neurodiversity basically explains the differences that neurodivergent people have in interacting with the world around them. So there's no right way to interact or interpret the world. But for people who are neurodivergent, it may be more obvious to others that their brain is wired slightly differently. There's no right way, as I said. Neurodiversity isn't a disease. Autism isn't a disease. It's not a mental health problem, which sometimes neurodivergent conditions are lumped in with, and it's certainly not something that needs to be fixed. Everybody's different, and in modern society, I think we just need to suck it up and try and make it as accessible for everybody. So, I've got lots of stories about parenting a neurodivergent child, and at the heart of all of it's love. I would walk through fire to give my son the best chance in life, and I am not the only one. So, if you're sitting comfortably, get a cup of tea, glass of wine, whatever's your poison, and I'll begin by telling you one story from our experiences. Let's start at the beginning. You're pregnant. How the fuck did that happen? I think I better revisit GCSE biology there. It wasn't something I was planning for. It wasn't something I'd thought about. And then the pregnancy circus begins. You can't get away from it. You can't do this, you can't eat this, you can't go there, you can't do this. If you do this, you're going to damage your baby. On and on and on and on. But I knew it was only for a limited time, because sure enough, the baby happens, and that's when the shit hits the fan, if you're like me, and the first baby that you've ever held is your own. So you get on with it, you learn to be a mum, you learn to get to know your child. But then as time goes on, you start thinking, some things were a little bit quirky. I didn't have anything to compare it to. So all I can do is explain, for me, my son seemed to really experience emotions to the extreme. Luckily, it was, on the whole, positive emotions. For example, when he was out of the house, the world seemed to be a constant source of joy and excitement. Everything was so exciting and overwhelming that he was experiencing it through his whole body. So there's me, trying to push a buggy containing a small human, squealing at the top of his voice for joy, constantly, and waving his arms and legs around like he was drowning. But what was he doing? From what I could see, he was just responding to the wonders that surrounded him. He's still the most enthusiastic and appreciative child around. Obviously, he's grown up now, but I could definitely see the difference between other people's children and my own. But I love the fact that it was quirky. I was quite bohemian in my ideas, thinking I wanted him to be a free spirit. And I wasn't really sure whether, because I'd encouraged him to express himself, even at that young age, whether that was why he was interacting differently. But at that point, he was just a joy to behold, and if I'm honest, nobody had ever tried to tame him. Enter nursery. So, how do I describe his approach to nursery? What springs to mind is a Tasmanian devil on the surface. He was absolutely loving life in nursery. He was into everything. There wasn't a damn thing that the nursery staff could do to stop him. When they'd open the door at home time, it would took everything in the power to actually keep him in the nursery, not come charging out. And when I collected him, I had to, literally physically collected him, I had to carry him sobbing back to the car because he wanted to stay there because it was just so much fun. And so I ran the gauntlet. At the time, we lived in quite a middle-class area. So I ran the gauntlet of yummy mummies, all with the competitive parenting styles. I'm dragging my son, literally, holding him in my arms. He's screaming. And the fixed expressions with a smile on their faces. Oh, look at that little boy. He's special. I smiled and I looked away. I would have much preferred to wrap the waiter's shopping bags around their heads, but people being judgmental is something you kind of have to get used to. But my boy was a free spirit and a beautiful soul, and he couldn't be contained by his first experience of an institution. But then it comes to us all. Parents' evening. Yeah, they even have them in nursery, for those who haven't had that experience. And to be honest, going to his parents' meeting, I was absolutely shitting myself. I knew they were finding him hard to manage. I knew that he was a handful, to say the least. So you go, you get invited into a little room, offered a seat. And then there was a pause. A face. That could only really be described as pity. And I'm sorry, but your child's broken face. A face that becomes really, to be honest, all too familiar. Then you get the usual. Your son's development is not typical. We're concerned there may be an underlying issue. Perhaps you should go and visit your GP. Felt like I'd been hit in the face with a frying pan. You know, like on a cartoon. Fuck. Panic. And overall, just don't cry. Whatever you do, don't cry. So there I was, confused and honestly terrified. You just really want your child to be accepted. You want them to have friends. You want them to have prospects. And I'm sure if you have a neurodivergent child, you've experienced that same mind-numbing, stomach-wrenching panic. There's nothing like it, but reflecting back on it now, once the panic subsides, you develop a certain power, a certain resilience, and a primal instinct, really, to protect and help your child. So that's just a little overview of one of the early experiences that I had being mum to my son in the great wide world. But just a parting thought. Apparently, this could be a load of rubbish, by the way, but I quite like this quote. The University of Wisconsin-Madison's research concluded that mothers of children with autism have stress levels that are comparable to combat veterans. Of course, it's not just mothers, and it could be a load of shit. But after this point, fuck it. Enter G.I. Jane. I was ready for the battle. I didn't choose it, but I was going to win. So if you can relate to this, all I can say is you're a badass, an advocate, a warrior for a war that you didn't choose. And I am sending you my love. I'd love to hear your experiences. Bye for now.